with Curtis Lewa.
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Lewa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Lewa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Lewa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Lewa, legendary New Yorker.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Lewa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of 5, as I take you, yours truly, Curtis Lewa, on the drive home at 5. This was one of the Donald Trump theme songs during the campaign. And a lot of his supporters, after the open part of the testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee was completed with James Comey earlier today, were taking that point of view, especially when it came to James Comey calling out the president as a liar.
And although the law required no reason at all to fire an FBI director, the administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple. And I am so sorry that the FBI workforce had to hear them, and I'm so sorry that the American people were told them.
Called the president a liar and then went further.
What was it about that meeting that led you to determine that you needed to start putting down a written record?
A combination of things. I think the circumstances, the subject matter, and the person I was interacting with. Circumstances first, I was alone with the President of the United States, or the President-elect, soon to be President. The subject matter, I was talking about matters that touch on the FBI's core responsibility and that relate to the President, President-elect, personally. And then the nature of the person. I was honestly concerned that he might lie about the nature of our meeting, and so I thought it really important to document. That combination of things I'd never experienced before, but it led me to believe I got to write it down, and I got to write it down in a very detailed way.
Twice within 2 hours of open testimony on the Hill, that Comey was talking about the president being a liar. On the line to discuss it, Scotty Nell Hughes, who is now the national spokeswoman for the Defending the President PAC. Thanks for joining us again here on the Drive Home at 5, Scotty.
Oh, thank you for having me. And can you not say bitter party of one listening to Comey today, who has absolutely played an excellent role of being the fired employee who had a national bully pulpit for him to go against his former boss. I am looking at headlines right now, Curtis, and I am literally, I can't believe what I'm reading. But when headlines say, Comey, Trump administration lied, defamed me, and FBI. I want to send him a note. Hey, by the way, that was used last week by Kathy Griffin, and how did that work out for her? This has been absolutely a very roller coaster of a day to watch, but for Democrats to think this was going to end anything else but a disaster for them, I'm shocked that they did not see this coming.
Now, in terms of his overall cross-examination and what he had to say publicly, because we've yet to see any leaks from his private testimony that continued on behind closed doors, overall, what did you take from it?
I took from it exactly what I knew was going to happen. He denied that there was ever any evidence of collusion between the Trump camp. Or no, let me say this. He said, I cannot say it out in public, which basically means, no, I want to allow this narrative to continue, whether it's true or false. It works to my advantage. He approved that he said three times that President Trump was not under an investigation. And third, it showed that Republicans, and I'm going to give us the well-deserved credit that the Republicans in the Senate deserve, that they proved in their questioning that Comey was bitter and that he was basing all of this speculation on the words hope when it came to the fact that he felt like President Trump had intimidated him and tried to influence whether or not an investigation into General Flynn was going to happen. The word was hope. It was never demanded. Democrats today watched their entire narrative implode. And this is why President Trump 2 days ago said he was not going to use executive privilege and keep Comey from testifying.
But Scotty Nell Hughes, didn't you find that when he used the term inappropriate, disturbing, and the awkwardness of having to sit with the president by his lonesome self, that that would resonate with a lot of people who were looking in on this testimony, saying to themselves, yeah, the president may not have done anything criminally wrong, but he certainly didn't go about handling this the right way due to protocol.
First of all, there was no protocol. There was no by the books, but we're talking about opinions here. This is opinions. This is the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The last thing I want to hear him whining about is his opinion or his sense or his body language or what he feels like the president was trying to do from him. When my national security and the safety of my family is at stake, I want to hear facts. And what we saw today was a huge circus of opinion, emotion, and distraction from the real issues that Americans are dealing with today. That deals with the Affordable Care Act, that deals with national security and the terrorism that we're seeing abroad, and it deals with things like tax reform. Those are the issues, and I think the majority of Americans listening today watched, if they had the opportunity, because they weren't working, had the opportunity to watch the Comey hearings today and thought, man, these folks need to spend a day in the real world and find out what's really plaguing the majority of us, and this was not it.
Well, at a certain juncture in his testimony, James Comey said he felt that President Donald Trump was looking to get something in order so that he, James Comey, could stay on the job as being FBI director.
Well, and once again, felt. This is all about feelings. There was no hardcore evidence, but okay, so fine. He brought him in for dinner to feel him out, to see, okay, what are you going to do? Both sides of the aisle have called at different points for the lack of trust and the lack of confidence within Director Comey. All today, at the end of the day, justified was why President Trump let him go, and it had nothing to do with Russia, because guess what? There is no evidence of Russia, and I find it very funny today that even despite it being shown that it was unclassified memos, we have yet to see these memos when they were released. Maybe we need to wait for another Bernie Sanders supporter to leak them out, and maybe we'll see them just like we might see the 30,000 emails from Hillary Clinton, but I'm not holding my breath.
Well, in fact, that came up when James Comey himself was speaking about how it was that he leaked those memos to his friend, the professor from Columbia University.
The president tweeted on Friday, after I got fired, that I better hope there's not tapes. I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night, because it didn't dawn on me originally, that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
And was that Mr. Wittes?
No. No. Who
was that?
A good friend of mine who's a professor at Columbia Law School.
Now, Scotty, I got to tell you that when the president did tweet that, it really took a lot of folks back to the point where they're saying, did the president just threaten the former FBI director about possibly having taped conversations? So what would be wrong with Comey using a friend to get out a memo that was not classified information so as to clarify that?
Well, we still have not seen that memo. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially when you're talking with an FBI director who's going out in public basing on opinions. Once again, we're talking about opinions. So why not sit there and play the same game that the opposition is playing with this administration when they get played back on them and they realize that we're calling their bluff, which is exactly what President Trump did? Comey had to start thinking twice, going, oh my gosh, maybe, you know, they might actually have this evidence, which I'm sure President Trump more than likely does not have. But more, just want to say, you know what, before you go out there and defame me like we know you're doing as a disgruntled employee would do, let me make you think twice, because it has happened in history before where there have been tape recordings. And so you might want to make sure you're saying the truth out there in the public eye.
Now, I noticed today, Scotty, the president did not follow through on what he had promised. While watching the testimony, he would be tweeting responses. There was none of that. Instead, he had his private attorney go out and address the media afterwards. Can we assume that might be a new policy of his to restrain himself and not immediately get involved in a Twitter rampage?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think what it did do, President Trump knew that today's testimony was incriminating enough to the whole false narrative of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And so he did not want to give, and we have found that some of our friends, some of our snowflakes in the mainstream media like to go after these little ants and make mountains out of molehills. And so he was not going to give them that news line today. He was going to force them, as they are having to do, to lead off their nightly news report tonight, talking about how just absolutely ludicrous Comey looked today on the stand, and how the biggest loser, the biggest sort of incriminating comment made today was actually against Loretta Lynch, when it talked about that the reason why he issued his statement about Hillary Clinton was that the urging and the conversation he had with former Attorney General Loretta Lynch. She's the one right now that is going, he was probably, could say, has had the worst day today thanks to the Comey testimony.
Well, I want to give you a shout out here, Scotty, as the brand new national spokesperson for the Defending the President PAC. If people are interested, how can they find out more information about the Defending the Presidential PAC?
Very simple. Just go to defendthepresident.com and you can look up all of our information. We've got petitions. We've got polls going on, but basically just pushing back on this anti-Trump narrative that continues, that has been continuing, but maybe today that's the lemonade. We might see a change of pace once we dismiss this whole cloud of Russia behind us. We can actually start working for the American people and getting information that actually we can use and utilize every day.
I have a feeling, Scotty Nell-Hughes, that cloud is not going away anytime soon.
Deep connections, deep understanding.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
77 WABC.
Five 27 as we continue here on the Drive Home at 5. In the aftermath of James Comey's public testimony up on the Hill earlier today, we have no idea yet what his private testimony was behind closed doors afterwards, although we know in Washington that will certainly leak out. But on the line to discuss it, Christopher Hahn, the liberal heartthrob regularly featured on the Fox News Channel, who sometimes ends up coming out of that like chopped meat out of a grinder. Thanks for joining us here on the Drive Home at 5 again, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Curtis?
Oh, I had a great day because it was a great spectacle to watch and obviously listen to here at WABC. But, Chris, what about yourself, especially when the unexpected took place? James Comey volunteered that not only was he angry at Loretta Lynch for meeting with Bill Clinton on the tarmac in Phoenix, but we didn't know this about Loretta Lynch.
Was your decision influenced by the Attorney General's tarmac meeting with the former President Bill Clinton?
Yes, in a ultimately a conclusive way. That was the thing that capped it for me, that I had to do something separately to protect the credibility of the investigation, which meant both the FBI and the Justice Department.
Were there other things that contributed to that you can describe in an open session?
Probably the only other consideration that I guess I can talk about in an open setting is that at one point the Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me. But that was one of the bricks in the load that led me to conclude I have to step away from the department if we're to close this case credibly.
It's got to be that Loretta Lynch gets drawn before the Senate investigative committee. Come on, Chris, even you would acknowledge that.
A matter is an investigation. And if that's everybody's takeaway from what's going down here today, that Loretta Lynch tried to wordsmith this guy, we've got real big problems as a nation, because what this guy said today about the president being untrustworthy and trying to lie about things he might say, I think that's something that we should all be very much afraid of. This president never asked him once about the Russian involvement in our election. Why? Because he probably knew all about it from Mike Flynn. And I think at some point we're going to know exactly what that meant, and the country is going to be very shocked especially on the right. I think people in the middle and on the left already understand this, but I think people on the right are going to have to fess up soon that this is what's actually happened.
All right, but based on what we do know and what publicly we heard today from James Comey, there apparently are no grounds for obstruction of justice, movement towards impeachment of the president. You know, other than him saying, I thought he was possibly lying, he lied about me and the FBI, that's not grounds for a criminal charge.
Well, I don't think that Comey said there wasn't obstruction of justice. He said that would be up to Mr. Mueller, who's currently investigating it. But that said, you got to remember, the investigation had just begun. It had only been going on for a couple of months when the president summarily fired Comey because, quite frankly, he wanted to relieve the pressure of the investigation. That in and of itself, to me, strikes me as somebody who didn't want the investigation to proceed. It was a bad error because now the investigation's going to proceed no matter what. But, you know, we'll see where it leads.
And then,
Curtis, you and I have had this conversation before. I've always thought that maybe some junior staffer was getting ahead of themselves and may have talked to the Russians or got some intel from the Russians. But the fact that the president fired Comey in an attempt to stop the investigation, which is what Comey said today, and is what the president said, quite frankly, to Lester Holt the day after he fired Comey, leads me to believe that it's somebody very high up, if not one of the president's children or in-laws,
right,
maybe the president himself.
But then finally, Christopher, what about the fact that the guy who was in charge of trying to patch up and find out where the leaks were coming out of many stories that appeared in the media is the same guy who admitted today that he himself leaked his memo to a friend at Columbia University who gave it to the New York Times? I mean, isn't that a bit hypocritical?
Well, it was his memo, right? It wasn't a classified memo. There was nothing classified about it. He gave it to a friend for safekeeping and to get it to the press because, frankly, it had to be said. It had to get out. And he wouldn't have done it had the president not impugned his reputation and impugned the reputation of the department, which the president has been doing and continues to do somewhat to this day.
Do appreciate that, Christopher Hahn, liberal heartthrob, regular featured guest on the Fox News Channel. And one thing we learned today, ladies and gentlemen, as I've been saying regularly, everybody leaks in Washington. The FBI guy leaks. The president leaks. It depends on what your point of view is. There are so many leaks. It's a tsunami of information that comes rushing at guys like Ken Duffy. And then they got to figure out what's real and what's fake. But right now, we're going to get real headlines from Ken Duffy.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Guardian Angel founder Curtis Sliwa.
Really trying to help our cause.
WABCRadio.com.
.52 as we continue to take you home on the drive home at 5. As you know, this program has been dedicated to trying to figure out the everyday changes that have taken place in the Puerto Rican Day Parade 60th anniversary set to step off on 5th Avenue on this Sunday, June 11th. Every day it's a new story about the terrorists that they're honoring, Oscar Lopez Rivera. And then one day, if I say they're honoring the terrorists, co-founder of the FALN, Oscar Lopez Rivera, responsible for 120 bombings, a person who was in the lead of causing the death and the maiming of police officers and citizens, not just here, but around the country. I get chastised by some who say, oh, haven't you heard the most recent news? He's not being honored anymore. He's just going to participate like anyone else can participate in the parade. Now, maybe you think that we should believe that technology, but I'm telling you, when it comes to Melissa Mark, Viva Libre Puerto Rico, his Medici, his sponsor, his groupie, who was actually at JFK yesterday to meet and greet Oscar Lopez Rivera as he arrived to participate in the parade on Sunday. That's right. She rolled out there with her SUV, taxpayer-funded SUV, we the sucker taxpayers, with her police entourage. What kind of police officers in her entourage didn't just abandon ship and said, you got to be nuts, Melissa. You want us to escort him in the SUV that we're driving you in to provide security with you? And we have to provide security for a guy who had dedicated his whole life to killing as many of us as possible? You should look in the mirror, police officers assigned to Melissa Mark, Viva Libre Puerto Rico, and decide, is it worth having this assignment with all the perks that go with it? Because you can grow barnacles on your backside all day long. And after she picked him up, she then went to Gracie Mansion, where they had the annual pre-parade celebration. And she dumbfounded everyone by claiming, though, in fact, he is going to still be given the honor.
Oscar, the award continues to be given to him, but he has decided to bestow it on the people. So I think that that's an incredible gesture.
Wait a second. Can I hear that again? Please, please.
Oscar, the award continues to be given to him, but he has decided to bestow it on the people. So I think that that's an incredible gesture.
So the parade committee that she controls, Melissa Mark, Viva Libre Puerto Rico, apparently has used subterfuge to fool all of us through camouflage. That's right. They are giving him the honor anyway. But then if you go to the parade committee chairwoman, Lorraine Cortez Vasquez, who's on the payroll of your mayor, not mine, I didn't elect him, Comrade Bill de Blasio, then she gives the party line.
We have not rescinded anything because Oscar gave it back.
So they haven't rescinded anything because Oscar gave it back. What is this like when Manny Ramirez used to play for the Red Sox when he was all roided up? You know, graduate of George Washington High School in Washington Heights. And he'd hit a home run in the upper left field deck at Yankee Stadium. And good Yankee fans would throw the ball back, right? Throw it back. So what is this? Oscar Lopez Rivera is going to have this trophy in his arms as he's marching up Fifth Avenue, continuing to espouse that terrorism is the way to seek liberation if it means killing cops or citizens or whomever, women and children. And then what does he do? Does he toss the honor into the crowd? And then in addition to this, the mayor, he has absolutely no balls, no huevos, no onions, because Melissa Mark, Viva Libre Puerto Rico, not only put the shiv in his back in this parade fiasco, but in this brand new budget that was passed overwhelmingly by the city council, $85 billion budget, she inserted language into the budget mandating that the city only consider income when determining who is eligible for $26 million earmarked for legal services for immigrants. Meaning de Blasio could not exclude immigrants convicted of 170 serious crimes from the program, as he had vowed to, with a little music as we go out here, maestro, of Boricua Posse. Boy, you talk about technology. And guess what? You know what the mayor and his staff said? We didn't read the entire final budget proposal, like he hadn't read the proposal to eliminate Rikers Island. And what about the 51 slackers and deadbeats in the city council who awarded themselves a salary increase that would knock your eyeballs out? You mean they and their many staff members at taxpayers' expense couldn't find the time to read through the final budget to see that Melissa Mark, Viva Libre Puerto Rico, was slipping us a Mickey that we would have to fund the legal defense of MS-13 gangbangers convicted of serious crimes so as to not have them deported out of the city of New York? Hey, Mayor, it's time to grow a set, huh? Oh, you are totally a wuss. That's right. Bow down to your mistress, Melissa Mark. Viva Libre Puerto Rico.